A car underwater. We are unfortunately reaching the end of our show. It's 11 a.m. but we can speak for a little longer. Mariel, you got something you want to say?
No, not really.
Okay, Mariel. Mariel,
this was fun. Thank you for taking me here.
I'm glad you could come. Anyway, thanks for listening. You're tuned to 90.1 WRUV FM Burlington. This has been The Nest with me, DJ Osprey. You'll hear me next week, same time. Thank you. Have a great week.
FM Burlington, 90.1 on your radio dial.
WRUV FM Burlington.
The radio voice of the University of Vermont, your better alternative.
You are listening to 90.1 WRUV FM Burlington. Thanks, as always, for listening.
Looking for a crunchy, salty, fresh snack? Look no further than a big old jar of pickles. Did you know that pickles offer many health benefits? From Cleveland Clinic, pickles are a great source of vitamins A and K, antioxidants, and even fiber, which many of us lack in our diets. However, the Cleveland Clinic also notes that pickles are not all created equally. Watch out for added extra sugar or sodium. If you want to add probiotics to support your gut, look for fermented pickles instead of traditional store-bought vinegar pickles. This message is brought to you from your pickle-obsessed DJs here at WRUV FM Burlington.
I don't want a pickle, just want to ride my motorcycle.
You are tuned in to WRUV 90.1 FM Burlington, your better alternative. My name is DJ Io, and I am once again joined with the lovely Dwight and Nicole, who, if you caught the interview on Saturday the 21st, you'll know that we were on air live, we're having a great time, and then the Davis Center had a mild gas leak. Luckily, it was handled quickly, but we did have to evacuate, and we couldn't finish the interview, so we're bringing it to you guys today. So, how are you guys doing today?
Hey,
we're
back.
Doing good, yes. Routine. Yeah.
You can't keep us down.
Yeah, it is great to have you guys back on air.
I'm glad everybody's safe. Everything was cool, a little minor thing. And it was an adventure that led us back here. So this is great.
Yeah. The police officer I talked to about it, actually, like, he was really excited that he got to pull the fire alarm. So I think it worked out for everyone in the end.
Well, I mean, I probably would be too.
Yeah, shout out to Muddy Waters for the
We went to Muddy Waters after, so we got coffee. Everyone was safe.
And it was your first time there, yeah?
Yeah, first time at Muddy Waters. Like, there's a lot of cool places around Burlington. Like, back on Saturday, we were talking about, like, all the cool venues you guys have played at, both, like, locally and, like, kind of all over the state, so. And, of course, in Norway, like, I don't know if we talked about this on air, but, like, can you tell everyone tuning in about the Norwegian studio that you guys worked at for a bit?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it is still called Ocean Sound Studio. And it's incredible. It's like, you're surrounded by the ocean. You literally are.
Fjord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's incredible. Our producer, Joel, had reached out to us and was like, I have this opportunity. And it's like entirely funded by Norway. And they want to bring artists from other parts of the world to record there. And he was like, you want to go make an album in Norway? And it was the day after I had written out like a rough sketch for a project that I wanted to do, where my family is from all over the world, and I have like blood relatives on every continent. And I thought, how cool to come up with a project where I can go to these different places and meet my cousins and play music together and sing like casually, maybe do some gigs. And then the next day, Joel called with this offer from Norway, and it brought us right to where my great grandparents were both born.
Wow.
Yeah, it was we were in Jyske. It was incredible. And we were still in the middle of COVID, so we hadn't flown done any fly dates. Nick and I don't do like a lot of those, but you know, once in a while, like, we're flying to San Francisco, we're flying to New York because we're on tour in North Carolina for like whatever. Yeah. It's like, so it was very cool to like be doing this trip, and Joel Hamilton, and he's the producer at Studio G, along with Tony Momomi and Chris DeLolio, and they just have like an unbelievable, their whole studio scene is just so insane. It's just, they do everybody from local bands to like the biggest names in music today. And like, it was just so cool to be invited and to be guests of the Norwegian government in a weird way, you know, they were into, you know, what we were doing. And so we were just grateful to be a part of the process.
Yeah. And honestly, it was like cathartic for me, and it opened and unlocked all this wild, like ancestral feeling, which I was not expecting at all. I'm like one quarter Norwegian, and I know that that's part of, and I've always felt that, but like to be there, it was just wild. And being like half Trinidadian, I mean, people see me and they just see like a brown girl. They're not thinking that's a Norwegian person also, right? Yeah. Like I'm equal parts genetically African as I am Norwegian. And for me, like, why would I eliminate an entire part of my genetic heritage to fit some kind of socio-political concept is crazy. Yeah. So for me, like going there, I was like, my heart was beating there. I felt that pulse, and it was just absolutely profound.
During our last interview, you talked a lot about kind of like the interconnectedness that like music brings both between people and the universe. Do you want to expand more on that? Or
I'll go first if you
I'm good. I got it too.
That's exactly the thing I'm talking about. Like, we can call it whatever we want. I mean, for me, being from like a kind of like the science minded, my father's an atheist and like very much love science. And so I grew up with that feeling of like, well, I understand there's an electromagnetic body here. Part of my body is unseen, but very, very real. And that is spinning everything. And that is actually what is creating everything, the sauce that we can't even see while we're living in these bodies. We can't see it with our eyes, but a lot of us can feel it. We've certainly seen images of it in video or in like books or whatever. The electromagnetic body that we have and that is actually creating our physical body, everything alive has this field and this energy field. And so for me, if we look at the creation,
you've been lucky enough to kind of have the ups and downs like we talked about last interview or the first half of this interview.
Yeah.
Like you cut like, okay, so you play to five people and then you play on TV and then you get whatever, we fly to Norway, whatever we do. I think we even talked about like the yoga, like you do all these things.
Yes. Yeah.
And there's ups and downs. And so on paper, it looks like either amazing or wow, you didn't play to that many people that night. You know, like if you're playing 3,000 seaters all the time and you play a 500 seater, well, you're like, oh wow, this is a small crowd tonight. It's all kind of like a relative thing, but traveling and doing all this stuff over the years, you're a child of the world at that point.
Yeah.
You've been around a lot of different cultures. You've seen a lot of different perspectives, a lot of different ways that people have lived their lives. And there's like such a value in seeing that and like in just understanding humans and being part of the human race, you know? Yeah. And I've come away with so much of that in the career. And that's one way that I measure the value of this. It's not so much the highs and lows of things. It's you being out there and doing your purpose and being out there with your humans and like putting that love and that intent out there. And I had mentioned to you that we had that cancer benefit, and like we're in the dressing room and with Ray Vega, this fantastic trumpet player who's played with everybody all over the world. You know, he's more older than we are, and even done more stuff. And he was just talking about the importance of, you never know who's going to be at a gig and whose life you might help a little bit or change. And you have no way of doing that, knowing that. You just have to, now more than ever in these difficult times, put out that energy and whatever your gifts are. And that was so, so poignant, you know, like really, really hit home. And that's the space that we're in today with you, and we were you know, yesterday or 2 days ago,
Saturday the 21st we were in the studio, which was my first live interview, so
kind of sucks that I got cut off like that, but like it was a really cool experience. Like it's much different than doing it over screen like we are now. But yeah, so hopefully we can have you guys back in studio sometime, because like that was really cool. So
oh, I would love to do that, and I'd love to bring instruments next time and like play a couple songs for you. Like that would be, I love doing like live performance stuff like that.
Yeah, and all the folks we were talking about that's at that coffee house concert. Yeah. Like, I want to meet everybody. I want to hear the song idea. I want to hear what everybody's coming up with now that maybe isn't touring as much as we are, or will be doing all those things too, but is like now just like germinating their new songs and their voice on their instrument, or their voice on their voice, just their singing voice, whatever that being. So yeah, man, we want to be a part of the community like that.
Yeah. It's truly the strongest part of like Burlington, honestly, like just a song and music community that exists like both on and off campus. So, and obviously you guys are a huge part of that. Like since you guys have your upcoming show at Higher Ground on the 20th of March, starts at 7:30. So if anyone is interested, get those tickets now, because I have a feeling they're going to start going fast. But do you guys want to talk a little bit about the CD release and the album again? Like just maybe recap a bit for people who missed the first interview.
Sure. And you want to talk about that a bit, Dwight?
We're going to be playing a bunch of stuff off the new record.
Yeah.
It's March 20th at the Higher Ground. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a very cool thing for us in terms of like, how do people think about the new songs, or how do they feel to play them? Because the songs don't really... they don't get their legs in their life until you do it in front of other people and get their input. And maybe somebody has a favorite one that they're calling out in the crowd.
Yeah.
And I feel like the three of us were talking about something, which I can't.
Was it Longer Days? I think that got brought up.
Was that it? You were saying like everybody should take a, should like, I don't remember what it was. It was some sort of interactive thing. And I was like, that is such a great idea.
Yeah.
With folks, we were trying to name something, or
the van.
Oh, that was right. It was around that. It, you know, your idea with that is like, just like, how do we all include each other together in this whole thing? So, that was a creative way of doing that. We rename Vanny DeVito post COVID as we're about to start touring again. If you're out there, we have a very large white transit van that we tour in, and it's like ready for the road again. So should we rename it? Should we keep it the same? I don't know. But you know, little fun things, but all of us.
Yeah.
Just, you know, so it's going to be a lot of that improvisational stuff on the spot, playing these new songs, and just leaning on our community to like get ready for this next wave for us, which we don't.
This next wave involves literally all of us also. Like we're all in this very like transitional time together here. And you know, as artists, you know, we just are, we're reminders of that all the time. So we're putting out these like markers of where we're at as humans, and just as we live our lives, like every couple of years we put out this like story of that couple of years, you know. And so it's in our faces, like, wow, we're so different than we were 10 years ago. We have these markers, you know? And so I look at concerts that way, especially album release show. It's like, we're older than we were the last time we did this. We're different than we were. And, you know, and everyone else is, in the whole like world is. I mean, I look at our last album release was what, 2023, not that long ago. But, like things were different than they are now.
Yeah.
Markedly, you know.
Yeah, well, it has changed in the past 2 years. Like,
yeah,
the world feels different,
right? Sure. And then next 2 years, probably even more.
Yeah, hopefully it's good change.
Some of it
can only hope.
Yeah,
that's a good way to look at it. Like, some of it will be, maybe not all of it will be good change, but like,
of course,
some of it will be. Yeah,
and if we can keep focusing on those aspects that will be better, that can be better. That's how we bring them in. Like, we have to think about those things. We have to be cognizant of that and conscious of that. Like, what can we be doing in 2 years? There could be more venues for us to go to. And it's not just about getting wasted and hooking up or something. It could be also because we know that that's really good for us. And it's really enjoyable, and it's part of what we should be doing together, is like vibing on music and like having snacks together and like laughing together, like yeah. you know,
you
just
were
being
like, the dance party. You were like, you went to the Higher Ground for like a
the 2000s rave. Yeah.
That's awesome. It's like the release, the playfulness of life.
Yeah.
Like being there for each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's like something very powerful about like music like that, when you can like feel the speakers in a way, and also like with the lights that you don't normally experience in day-to-day life. Like there's something magical.
The lighting.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
That's so important. Yeah.
Yeah. I was at a show last night, and like the way the lights were flashing, it kind of looked like people were kind of like, the way people were moving, it would look very different than it would normally. Like, I don't know if you're familiar with the show Arcane, but there's a scene that's animated in 4 frames per second. And like, it looked like a live version of that, like with the lighting. So,
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
When I was little, my uncle brought a strobe light.
Yeah.
Green party we were throwing at my parents' apartment. And I remember the first time being in a room dancing, and like the strobe light was on, and you're just seeing like frame.
Yeah,
frame,
the world frame, is stop frame, time animation all of a sudden. Yeah.
Oh yes, exactly.
Yeah,
it changes your brain. It rewires these pathways. It actually does. Experiencing things like that is so cool.
That was like the first time I'd ever experienced that. I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. Like.
Yeah.
So bring back strobe lights, 2026.
Noted.
Yeah.
I'm writing that in my notes to add for lighting guy for show.
Strobe light teenies.
Like just a little moment, maybe, you know?
Yeah, like it's just such a cool effect. Like it's so cool. Yeah. So
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. So what else do you guys have, like anything else you can talk about, like with what you guys are planning to do at your show, like anything you can disclose, or is it going to be a surprise? Like,
well, a lot of it is still secret, and some things are coming together that we're very excited and hopeful for, that are like crossed things. So I cannot speaketh on them
right now.
Because we'll see. But yeah, we're expecting. Very cool guests. We're expecting some. That's all I'm gonna say about.
I will say we were able to play a few of the songs on Martha's Vineyard at Ladyfest, which was maybe 2 or 3 months ago. We had the pleasure of getting to do that with Rosie and Esperanza Spalding and Carly Simon and all sorts of wonderful artists. And it was pretty neat. That's a festival that's been going on now. I think it's 6 years now. It was really special. It was very nice. It was like right in Oak Bluffs, right on the ocean. So
yeah,
big shout out to Lady Fest, but it was cool to play three of the songs, that we are going to play, on the 20th. So
yeah,
a couple of them have been kicked around once.
So if anyone tuning in was at Ladyfest earlier this year, you guys probably got a sneak peek of this new album, which, just saying as someone who's been listening to it a bit, like, it is an amazing album. I'm so excited for it to be live. Like, it's going to be hype.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. That's whenever we hear feedback, like, I get, like, I hold my breath for a second, like, unconscious before someone says what they think. I think like every creation that of my life has been that way. Yeah. I'm like, do anything that I've ever made, I'm like, what if people don't see it how I see it, or like it doesn't, they don't, doesn't communicate, and you have to trust like it'll find the people that find, and like those are your people, and everyone else, if it passes them by, it's like, that's okay. We pass by each other all the time.
Yeah. Everybody likes chocolate ice cream.
But I get as an artist.
You do.
It. I do. I'm like, oh.
But part of it is also, and I'd like to take a second to mention this too. It's like we talked about this in the first half of the interview, like the team, you don't do any of this alone.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be as fun not having Nicole there and sharing with her and growing as musicians. But it's also like we had mentioned Ezra Oakland, our drummer, who's a producer as well. And is a fantastic producer at the lab. He has a studio in Essex Junction. And nice. I just like to also like give a shout out to Leon Campos, who played keyboards on the record, who's such a fantastic keyboard player, and a brother to John Solo, who played keyboards on the record. I'm trying to think who there was, just like Tony, who was one of the producers at G, played on it, and Joel played on some percussion stuff, and like I really feel like everybody who contributed to this record in an unplanned way, you know, folks like sometimes with the way G works is like people just show up, you know, and or like they're in the neighborhood and they like come by and then you're like, oh man, you want to play on a track. It's like a very relaxed kind of a thing, and sometimes you get magic results from that. And we had a week recording that was like, it was actually 8 days, and it was we were in it's in Greenpoint in Brooklyn, and like, so we're just like doing our thing. Like you work like it's very un rock and roll hours, right? It's like like 10 to 6 every day, and then you do rewrites in the evening and you do rewrites in the morning. So you're working like 14 hours a day, right? And so we were in such a magical like a flow state, right, kind of thing during the whole thing. I remember like it was day 3 or day 4, I got out to my car and somebody had like smashed my window, right, and taken some stuff.
We were like,
there wasn't really anything in the car to take. That's not true, but like things had been rummaged around.
Somebody took my popcorn. I had it.
Okay,
in the middle.
So they stole popcorn and they stole actually a set of keys. But I was like, I had to be in the studio in a half an hour, and I was just like, well, we need to have that sense of play, that like flexibility all the time, and that's the state we were in those first 3 days. Was just like people stopping by, maybe somebody sits on a track. Yeah. Whatever goes on, like we just go with it. So I was like, screw it. Yeah. I was like, let's just like we'll figure this out. I drove the car to Queens. Like they did like some tracking without me or whatever. I forget. Somebody else had to do an overdub or whatever. I got back and we got back to work. And like, even an event like that, which, you know, might have sent me kind of in the spiral or something, I just like went with it. I was like, whatever. And
you
then
made everything better.
And then the other 5 days, there was no loss in momentum. It just felt like this like
good
flow state. And so we got done with it. And we had to go to Pennsylvania. And I remember Nicole like had her vlogging camera out, and I was driving. We were listening to some of the roughs, and we were like, we worked as hard as we could for 8 days. Like there's nothing more we could have done. And there was a satisfaction with that. Like, just like thankful for being in a position with people that would bring that out of you. And then a space that would bring that out of you. So it was, man, I can't speak enough of them down there. Studio G, you rule. You all just crush, man. Legends.
We sound like it. Wow. That just like really reminds me of like how a Queen used to write their songs too, like how they went on that retreat and like ended up with like Bohemian Rhapsody and like some of their greatest songs. Like
kidding. Yeah. Cool. Wow.
Yeah.
If you can transform the energy that, you know, so you're not in your everyday type of energy, you can like heighten things naturally and then bring like the best of yourself out in these moments, and then touring around it, you're just like kind of celebrating this creation that was like a very good memory, you know. So like we play these songs, we are smiling because we remember like the magical moments that they were born.
That's true.
Yeah,
you know,
and if you're in that space, it's delivering something unique. That's so cool. Yeah. Also, like you mentioned Queen, like that's like one of my go-to like YouTubes when I need energy. I go to that concert. And what was the one where David Bowie and Annie Lennox did, what did they cover?
Was
they
covered
Under Pressure.
Wow.
And it's at like Farm Aid. They're like in front of like 8 trillion people. And
you have to look that up.
Dude,
is it Rite Aid? Or
no, it's
Farm Aid. I think it's Farm Aid for like the farmers.
Yes.
Yeah. It was like
Google Annie Lennox, David Bowie, Under Pressure live.
All right.
And you will find it. And it is the best thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, I want to recreate it So hard.
You guys should. You should do that at your show.
Oh my God.
Maybe we come out as
my God.
Because like it's like that world that we were talking about where the visual meets the music.
Yeah.
And she's like, Annie was like, we had rehearsal a couple of days before, and like she turns to David Bowie and she's like, what are we gonna wear for this? And he like handed her like his like couture dress designer, and he's like, I really talk to this lady and get a dress, and wait till you see what she came up with visually. It's just, oh my God,
so
incredible.
Cool.
So
okay, so I know what I'm watching after this.
We have to do that for the show.
Watch it.
Yeah. Yo, come to the show. See if we're dressed up as Bowie and Lennox. That's a lot of pressure.
I wouldn't mind singing.
I'll dress up as Bowie. Like I'm a ginger. I got. I can fit the role.
Oh man.
I saw him one time, and it was like. Like I grew up in Jersey. Don't hold it against me. It's like my heart though, you know? And like, we're a giant stadium. There's like, you know, 67,000 people, and like row 375 is like right up at the top. I'm like up there with my friend. He had an extra ticket to, and I was a kid. It was like the Sound and Vision tour, which was the only tour that David Bowie ever just played his covers. He played all of his hits.
Yeah.
And man, he shows up like, you know, Giant Stadium didn't have like great like video screens or nothing. They were fine.
Yeah, back in the day.
And he was like, he might as well have been right in front of me. I mean, his like aura or whatever was just.
Yeah.
And man, he just looked so handsome. He had like a double-breasted like Armani suit on or something like that. Just like, oh my God, this guy is like just such a beautiful human being. He has two color eyes like a husky.
Yeah, I know. I've like seen that. I thought that was like a artistic choice for like album stuff. I didn't realize like it was an actual thing that he had for a while. Like I actually learned that kind of recently.
Yeah, he's so handsome. He's such a beautiful man.
He's a particular example of a human. I'm not sure I know that there's probably human like DNA all over the place, right?
Yeah.
This is the only expression of humanity on this one planet under this. Yeah. Done. I think we exist in other places. Hit me up if you think I'm crazy or if you agree. But I think Bowie actually is like carries a lot of energy of maybe Earth adjacent.
Yeah, he's magical. Like if you guys haven't seen Labyrinth, I highly recommend it because like he's just like he's so
Labyrinth
good in
the
that.
Gateway into loving Bowie. That was my gateway movie into loving him. I'm like, what on earth? I even made my parents buy me those like ball things, like those metal ones.
Oh yeah,
the little
crystal ball things. Yes, yeah.
You know those like metal versions that have
special box.
They're like called like massage balls or something, and you get them in like Chinatown or whatever. I still to this day. I can actually kind of like flip them from my one hand to the next and play with them. And because I was upset. Anyway, I was a nerd.
That's cool.
Okay.
You were a nerd.
I was a nerd.
You're on college radio right now. I think that the target audience is also nerds. Or your better alternative.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get a little weird in your room.
Yeah.
We're talking to you right now, and I'm thinking about all this stuff, and I'm looking across the room, and there is a Musser, Musser vibraphone in our living room, and Nicole is learning right now to play the vibraphone, and it's just like, I don't know what that has to do with any of this, but I'm staring at it, listening to you guys talking about Chinese massage balls, and I'm staring at a vibraphone, which is like, we might as well be in space right now. It's for me, it's insane. And we're talking about David Bowie, and we're juiced on caffeine. This is fantastic.
I'm going to send you
Send her, yes. Send her a picture of the vibraphone. It's so sick.
Yeah. Oh, wait, that is.
Shout out to David Marchand, who is a fantastic vibraphone player in town, and heard Nicole at a rehearsal fooling around with a vibraphone. And then he's like, we've got to get her one. And so for her birthday.
My God.
He like helped rebuild a student vibraphone. He
that
did
is
it.
So
and
cool.
So I didn't do anything. But he was like, let's get this. He's so, so great. His band's called Alternate Take, which is kind of a beautiful vibraphone led. It's like kind of Latin jazz exotica.
Ooh.
So it's Cal Jader stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah, it, you went, like when we were talking about all the different bands, like I'm also in a beautiful traditional Cuban and Brazilian group called Los Songoros. And like we play usually once a month at SIBA or another venue. In fact, we're playing on the 28th and I'm playing with Dave actually on the 27th.
Oh, nice.
And like, it's so cool to be in a community in Vermont with so many talented musicians and getting to play all the styles of stuff that I love. And so shout out to Songoros, to Ramiro and Lucio and Marina and Noah and Clarence and Eric. And you know, it's just very, very cool to be a part of.
So diverse, honestly. Like, I don't think I ever expected a vibraphone to be what you guys were going to say, but like, will we be hearing some vibraphone on the next album then?
Yeah, maybe. Could hear some right now if you
like. Honestly, yeah, go for it. Like, if you want. Like,
can you please play the audience a vibraphone? So, yeah. Yes, to go across the room, but I'm going to set up the scene for you. So,
all right.
I'm making coffee, right? Okay. I'm bringing it over. She's just like moving over. She has to actually, you have to plug the instrument in. And for you, for those of you who already know what it is, I'm sorry to like already state something you know. But the machine does, it has these like little belts on it that open up and close the sound as you press on the foot pedal. So yeah, I'm bringing it over. I'm bringing the phone right now. So I'm like drinking coffee and I wake up because I'm like not a morning person, but I wake up to this sound in the house and it's just like ethereal.
Wow.
Here it is. No, I got it. I got it. We're good.
All right. Not sure if it's picking up right now, but
So it's wild. It's the phone.
Yeah.
Speaker's not going to do it.
But yeah.
That, something cool is happening, I promise you.
And she's writing songs.
I believe you on it. Like, I totally believe you guys.
Yeah, it's not. Sorry if it didn't come across.
No.
Yeah.
It might have come through. Yeah. All right. Great. Yeah. So that's even more reason to come see you guys live, because then you can actually hear the vibraphone. Like,
it's gonna be interesting as far as different than what we've done before. I can't guarantee you vibraphone's gonna be on the stage with us, but the influence of that being in the house will be heard. It will be heard.
Yeah. Super cool.
Like, yeah, we love it. I feel very. This is like the life that I dreamed about. Being possible when I was younger, I was like, I didn't know if it was possible actually to have a life like this. And I can tell you that it is. Like, you can, you know, you can have a vision of a different kind of life that's very free and very beautiful, that's plugged in creatively to your community, and where you have a lot of love and like joy in doing what you're good at, doing what you're born to do. That's possible, even though it kind of, you're told your whole life that you have to follow these very specific, rigid rules in order to get where it's like, I think, I mean, your generation's so cool. Like, you guys know, actually, you're like, these were all lies. we're sitting in of lies.
The economy's a train wreck. We might as well have some fun with it.
Exactly. You know? Do your thing. That's why you're here, to do your thing.
Yeah. Like, I think we were talking a bit yesterday about like how there's kind of like a shift towards more. I'm trying to find a word for it, but kind of just like people are really tapping in creatively these days. And like, I've kind of like noticed that a lot, like in Burlington and like on campus. So. It's like really interesting to see like what everyone is doing. Like, it's there's always something happening.
It's so cool. Like, I never finished college, and I didn't have like the real full experience. I started getting so much work, and as a musician, and I was like, what am I doing with my life? Like, I'm here to be an artist, and I'm gonna do that.
Yeah.
Above and beyond everything else, like, I was really trying to get a degree to please my parents. My father in particular was a big deal to him. And I was like, Dad, don't you see me? Like, I'm not a college degree type of girl. I'm an artist, and I'm going to be on the road, and I'm going to be learning in a different way than what you learned, you know, like I'm a different type of person and I'm meant to do this other thing. Like, it's not frivolous.
Yeah.
It's not a small thing. Like, to me, it's a great honor to be a recording artist. It's a great responsibility. You're part of people's lives and it's gorgeous calling, you know.
And you make your creative thing, whatever it is, with what you got. Like you mentioned him yesterday, like the, you know, like that there's like a, I think he's called it like a TV club or video club or something.
Yeah, UVM TV, shameless plug. Like, you guys should join.
Shout out 100% to the club. Like when I was like at UVM, they had like literally, it was like, you might as well call it like a video closet. It was like a small coat closet with like three devices that you could rent out at Living. And like, I remember people just being excited about and creating interesting things with just that. And like going over to the, like, I don't know if pottery's still over Living and Learning, but
it is. Yeah. Nell it's Ryan like right near the Marché. Like,
oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
It's next to the Marché and Skinny Pancake. So you can go do some pottery and get some Skinny Pancake after. So
that's what I'm talking about.
I want to. Skinny Pancake is great.
Nell Ryan was doing the pottery there and she was.
Yeah.
My sister to my Jersey brother, Jeremy, who
nice.
That's just like, just a lot of good memories about that.
Do you guys know how lucky you are to go to a school like this in a place?
It was beautiful. It was super it's creative really cool, and fun like, and
such a special thing.
A lot of learning and just an amazing thing. And also like, you know, some like we played a gig, this was a couple years ago though, and there was, we finished the gig, it was over at remember when we were driving up the hill and we almost like didn't make it?
That was fun. But yeah, it's that place that got very like construction now.
Yeah, and then we went up the hill and like we went past like that frat or whatever, and we were near that like Alachi, like that good, really good Indian place.
Yeah, so there was right near Trent City. Over.
Yeah, exactly. So there was a concert over there for the UVM students, and this was like maybe three years ago, and like so we get done with the show and like I'm seeing this kid, right, and he's like like looking at a picture of me on his phone, so like I like go over, I'm like, dude, is there, do you want to like talk, is there something like I saw you enjoyed the show, whatever, do you want to like, you know, what's up?
Let's be
friends, totally, which is like the way I am, which is like weird. I like call people. I text people, but obviously I'm like, I like to hear, just to engage with humans. And he was like, man, I graduated. He was from Rhode Island. He's like, I graduated.
Also. Oh, no
way. Oh, yeah, you're from Rhode Island.
Yeah, well, I'm right? also from, wow. Wow, so, you keep talking to Rhode Islanders.
Actually your brother. No, just kidding.
No, it was. I really don't think so. Brother. I don't know what's going on, but he had graduated in his basement during COVID. During the height of COVID, and they couldn't hold the ceremony. Oh, no. And he's like, now I'm up in this like strange place and I'm trying to like meet people and I'm not feeling like super confident in my space and myself.
Yeah.
It was really brave of him to just kind of bring that up to me. So I was like, I wanted to like honor that obviously and like hang out with him. And I was like, so we end up talking about like guitar player. He was a guitar player. He loved Joe Pass.
Ooh,
he was like,
nice.
You don't know him. He's like a fantastic jazz guitar player that did one of my favorite records with Ella Fitzgerald, just the two of them together. But I don't know what my point was. My point was just like, you don't ever really know where anyone is. Yeah. And like, you just have to like kind of engage and kind of go with it. And UVM was that. And it was that for him. I think he got on his feet. You know, he was like, he was just trying to get himself together. And to Nicole's point, what a nice place to try to do that in and a nice learning environment, you know. So that was, I don't know what made me think of that story, but shout out to him wherever he is. I wish I knew his name.
Yeah, hopefully he's doing well. So maybe he's listening.
he's on it. Yeah, he's got it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there is like something really magical about UVM. Like it's like we have the city of Burlington super close, but it's like also kind of gives you a chance to get on your feet a bit. Like I found that there's just so much opportunity here, especially for students. Like everyone seems to want to like help or like be like, I have something you could do. Like, do you want to like that sort of thing? So
that's so nice.
That's so amazing. Like I know there are challenges too, but as someone who didn't really have that kind of experience, like I've always kind of coveted that concept of kind of you're like the in between you know, being a kid and being really, you know, full-fledged adult.
Yeah.
And you get to figure it out kind of together in this like concentrated way. That's so cool. And it's all about like learning and exploring new aspects of yourself. And like, that's really what the world needs to stay being about. Like it shouldn't just be the college experience where you're exploring what else could we be, like what else are we, how can we be better and expand in that way. Like that should always be the conversation on the table, right? Like never, there's never an age that you should be where you're not actively learning and trying to improve things and discover more about yourself. And like that's just so cool, so cool.
It's interesting, like there's a lot of folks that a lot of folks in Europe that is priority as, you know, 17, 18 or 19 or 20, whatever, like folks work and then they go travel, maybe even before university, which is what, you know, that's the, that's their hang for college. But like, it's, there's a lot of different ways to learn. It just made me think about that whole kind of a thing. I wish I had, you know, maybe spent a year going across the whole world and seeing everybody. You know,
still can.
We're doing it now. Yeah.
Yeah. You're never too old. Like
never.
No.
Yeah. I'd love to travel more. Like, honestly, the world's just so big and beautiful that, like, I definitely agree with what you guys were saying about, like, how there's, like, so much power and connection with all of us as just being human beings, like, no matter our, like, cultural backgrounds or, like, the language we speak or, like, what we know and what we don't know, like there's always that common thread.
We're so connected, and the unseen part, we act like it if you can't see it, it's like quasi real, like almost real, but it's not really real, when in fact it actually is the realest thing about us. That thing is so cool, you know. We're a lot more like mushrooms. Like I find our energy the way that is a lot more like the way that mushrooms are and exist, mostly underground, unseen, and then this, and they're all one thing. They're connected. They're individual things too, but they're also really connected.
That's interesting.
That's a great analogy. Like, and you could obviously go deeper with that, with like how our veins look and like how nebulas and star systems look in a way. Like, there's like there's so many layers to that, honestly.
They cluster together, and that's what we do. You know, it's not natural for us to be fighting the way we are. It's all like cultivated to keep, to have a certain kind of outcome. Like if we're fighting, we're not, you know, going to fight the real problem. And then that, whatever that is, can be, you know, can flourish. And sometimes, you know, we're dealing with like people who are quite selfish in quite powerful positions. In our current society that is melting to the ground for our eyes, and we're rebuilding something else. And it, if we can actually really focus on and remember the ways that we're connected, we can like actively use our intelligence together, and then it becomes more than the sum of its parts. Like that's the future, in my opinion, is really that. I'd like to get there sooner than later. I think we can do it in our lifetimes over the next, you know, even 10 years or so. I think there's going to be opportunity for us to really create a very different looking day to day, you know, like our day to day life. We, it can be extraordinary. Why not? We're intelligent.
Yeah.
We could work together.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope everybody's, because you're different, you know, maybe different consciousness levels at different points in your life. And, you know, me as a freshman at UVM, I don't think I had nearly the composure you did, you do, and your focus and stuff. I was kind of wilder. Yeah, you really. You know, like you did doing such a good job leading interviews and just like your whole hang. But like, that's just an example of like, you know, we're built to change as human beings and kind of grow and get better at things. And, you know, I'm hopefully working on the millions of shortcomings I have and the things that I missed, you know, at different points in my life, trying to get better at those things. And I think that all of us trying to grow and trying to be more inclusive and be more together and, you know, fill in the holes that we all have, these holes and stories inside of us that, that are, you know, maybe are painful and uncomfortable and everything, but you can, you can, work on all that stuff, and you can change, and you can be more available and see all your brothers and sisters in a way that maybe you couldn't have before. Yeah. And I think it makes me sad. Like, I know we can't get into like a lot of politics and stuff, but there's or a chance to build. Yeah. Or we won't get into it. There's just a chance for us all to work on our stuff and hold accountable, but not, just work on the stuff to be a better human for our other humans.
Yeah. It's really far beyond political.
Yeah, it is.
Basic humanity message. Yeah. Like,
basic humanity. That's all I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And I'm working on it. I just mentioned it. We don't have to get
into it. Very basic human stuff.
You know, just to be a little bit better and have my eyes open a little bit more. That's all I'm saying, you know. So,
yeah, I think that's a really important message. So, yeah. Well, before we close out, like, is there anything else you guys want to talk about? Like, just any life lessons about the album, about the upcoming show, like, whatever you want to finish this off with?
Sure. First of all, we love talking to you. It has been great. Oh, I wish that we were recording First Talk yesterday, too.
Well, that would have been great. Yes.
And I would like for you to please send me the photos that you took of us.
Oh, yeah. I'll send you those. Yeah.
And thank you. And I started writing a song yesterday, which I think I mentioned. And the lyric to that, one of the main lyrics is, I want to live these ordinary days in extraordinary ways. And I just feel like that speaks to me to this time that we're in right now. It's like, you know, the days fly by and they don't have to be, you know, all the same or kind of, you know, full of the same kinds of emotions over and over. Like a lot of us were feeling like we have to fight right now because we do in a lot of ways. And, but part of the flip side of that coin or part of that story is also how are we then cultivating what we've learned so that we can build the next thing. And if we don't rest and have that downtime and have that quiet time, we never have the ability to cultivate the roots that the next thing is going to grow on. And I just think that's like such an important message right now. I wake up every day and I think about that. So I'd like to share that as much as possible while I'm in a body that can say that and maybe remind other people if they have forgotten that. And, you know, which we all do sometimes, it's life can be intoxicating in a lot of ways and distracting. But we're here to create something and we are doing that. As long as we remember that, we can move things in the right direction much more quickly. And, you know, that's all. I love it. I love doing that here. And with all of you guys, it's like, there's so many people on the same page here. We're very, very fortunate, regardless of anything we see in the news. Like there's a lot of us on the same page here.
I would just say try things because you never know what you might have other talents in. Like, I know I'm not a good bowler. I tried it, you know, but maybe I'm really good at crocheting. I never tried.
We could try.
So, like, and there's a creative space for whatever your gifts are that you know or the ones that you don't know. So if you're like, this is your first year, you're a student here and you're like, I don't know what's going on, you know. Can you sing? Can you dance? Do you pot begonias well? Do you, do you stretch taffy or play chess? Whatever your thing is, like just do, just, you know, be creative with it and enjoy it and share it with people because we all have like something to give for sure. And
we're supposed to.
Yeah. If you do music, you like playing a couple chords or singing in the shower, that's enough too. Just as important as if you go and tour the world doing it. There's no difference in any of it. Just use it and enjoy. You know what I mean?
I love
that's what I would say. Blessings,
Very nice.
Yeah, well, those are some great life lessons. And I really hope that, like, everyone who's tuned in really takes them to heart since, like, I definitely know I will. So thank you so much, Dwight and Nicole, for joining me today on WRUV.
Our pleasure.
It was so nice.
Yeah. Don't miss their CD release and their show at Higher Ground. Both of them are on March 20th. So get those tickets because it is at 7:30, March 20th. And as we close out the show for the day, I just want to thank you guys again for coming back for a second interview after the last one got cut short. So
I love it. I feel like that was such a magical little gift that happened.
Yeah.
Like, do this again.
Honestly, it worked out. Like no one got hurt. So
yeah, no one got
Davis
hurt.
Center is safe.
Exactly.
Yeah. Thank you. For
and yeah, I'm with Nicole. You want us to come back and play some songs or whatever, like whatever we can do to be a part of the, not just the WRV community, just all the students, all the kids come and bring all their energy to Vermont. Rage. Yeah. Have fun. Yeah. It's so awesome.
UVM students, we got to show up for Dwight and Nicole on March 20th. Like, I'm definitely going to try to be there. So y'all should come. Yeah. So thank you so much. And
thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Be well.
And I message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
If you must use a chainsaw,
follow the instructions to be safe. Wear a hard hat,
safety glasses, chaps,
earplugs, thick work gloves, chaps, and boots. Always hold the saw at waist level or below and make sure that others remain far away.
If you are cut,
put direct pressure on the wound
to stop bleeding and
get medical help as soon as possible. To learn more, call the CDC at 1-800-CDC-INFO.
If you must use a chainsaw,
wear chaps,